Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been preparing this presentation, and I don't think I'm done, but I've been preparing what I'm going to talk about for the bulk of this show today in various segments, probably with some spillover into the next show tomorrow. And it has to do with the fact that World War III actually started 11 years ago. The problem was, is what ruined it for the people that wanted it was Donald J. Trump. And this is one of the reasons he got impeached for the second time as president. It's absolutely incredible what we're going to reveal here. But then we're going to talk about through the course of this how Trump has already defeated Iran. He's already defeated Russia, but that doesn't mean that they can't rain holy hell down on America and the rest of the world. We're mobilizing forces, as I mentioned yesterday, sending elite paratroopers to an unknown destination in the Middle East. That's actually a video that you can find on YouTube. And produced by the government, but they're very nondescript. No one was allowed to talk to the press, but you see the troops riding, boarding the transports, and then taking off. Trump has won. But before we really can understand the dynamics of what we're facing, which I believe is the potential for widespread domestic terrorism in the United States, that's no secret. That's been discussed openly in Congress. And I also think that World War III, on a limited fashion, but a very destructive fashion, is in the cards as well. And then you have China lurking in the shadows, waiting for an opportunity to unleash their holy hell upon Taiwan, the Philippines, and probably Australia. There's a lot going on right now, and this has taken a lot of work to put this together, but I'm confident in what I'm going to show you is factual. And very probable in terms of projections that we're going to make here. We are brought to you by three great products from Magic Dicol. The Nanosoma spray, this boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. You've heard my testimony with this. I'm getting requests from people that work with this company to do more testimonials with this because of the great things that happened to me. Five sprays a day, once a day. But if you get into crisis and need to raise your immune system, you can take as much as you want because it's all natural. Doesn't cure anything. Just get your immune system to a really high level. Then as you try to work your way back into physical prominence that you once enjoyed and you have the muscle joint soreness, you rub this on the affected area and over time, you're going to see a disappearance of the inflammation and painful symptoms. I experience this. I'm doing things I haven't done in about 25 to 26 years. And then there's the vanity cream, fine lines and wrinkles and cuts and abrasions, treating this right now. Almost cut my finger off the other day and I'm treating that. And I didn't even need stitches, thought I was going to need it. These three together form the starter pack, the three pack, and it's 15% off limited time. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. All right, I'm going to read from some stuff I've produced before with current commentary. And it's kind of interesting how this stuff works, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm going back in time to, I started writing about Ukraine in 2013. I said Europe was being held hostage by Russian natural gas. We're going to develop that in a later presentation here. But the Ukraine war actually started in 2014 and 2015. And some will say, well, yeah, the seizure of Crimea. Yeah, but that wasn't all, folks. Let's walk through this. This is an article I wrote. I put the documentation here. It's on the website. And you can see I published this article in 2015. This was on the latter side. Okay. And the article was entitled 30 Reasons Proving That Putin is Preparing to Start World War III. He wanted Ukraine, and there was nothing he was going to stop. And it won't be until Donald J. Trump comes into office. Trump is able to stop it behind the scenes. He stopped this war. And oh, did that piss off the establishment? The Atlantic Council, deep state organization, seven ex-CIA directors running things. Do you remember Vindman and all that crap with Ukraine? Yeah, the impeachment trial. That's all part of this. Anyway, let's get into this, okay? I'm going to look at the first three things I published as I believed Putin was on the path for World War III, wanting to reestablish the old Soviet Union empire, and taking Ukraine was part of that. Previously, remember Georgia, Chechnya? Remember those? Yeah, that was once part of the Soviet Union, and Putin tried to get those back. All right, in 2014, I wrote about the face-off between paramilitary forces, Academy, formerly Blackwater, and Russian paramilitary forces in Ukraine. And America and Russia were already spilling each other's blood through these proxy groups. Now, this Russian paramilitary force actually was taken over by the Wagner Group. And that's going to be prominent in our discussion over the next few days to talk about, how Trump has actually defeated Putin. Just a matter of time. Okay, number two, in May of 2014, Western media was suspiciously silent about the Russians airlifting critical supplies, which would be used to support a war effort in Eastern Ukraine. So you think this Ukraine war started when Biden became president? Putin got aggressive because Biden was president. And he was a weak sister as a president. He knew that he was impaired cognitively, and Putin took advantage of it. When Trump says, if I'd have been president, this never would have happened, he is correct. He is correct. Okay. Now, Russia's news service openly reported ammunition for special forces is being airlifted into the Slovyansk operation. This was highly significant because the Ukraine-Donetsk region was asking to join Russia. Other regions were likely to follow. Now, you notice I'm changing present tense to past tense because I wrote this 10 years ago. Russia was further airlifting ammunition into the same region. And a little commentary here, even Ray Charles could see that this constituted preparations for war in Ukraine and that this ammunition had gone to support paramilitary forces fighting in Ukraine. According to a Russian Navy blog published in May of 2014, Russia actually simulated an American nuclear attack involving submarines, bombers, and land-based missiles. And this massive drill was coordinated under the direct supervision of Putin at the Defense Ministry's headquarters in Moscow. He had no fear of Obama. He was hedging a bet that Clinton was probably going to win and he would continue the same thing, and she wanted war. And you're saying, oh, how do you know that, Dave? Okay, well, let's go to my notes from today. The world was plunging headfirst towards World War III in that period, and Trump stopped it in early 2017. The elite wanted war in Ukraine. They wanted to crush Russia once and for all because they saw it as an opportunity to crush opposition to the erasure of national boundaries and so forth. And Putin's fiercely nationalistic, which puts him in conflict with the powers that be on the planet. Well, in debate number two, and this is really key, Hillary changed the course of history with one comment. She said, I will, when I'm president, establish a no-fly zone in Syria. Now, for Russia to have any hope of defeating the United States and Europe and NATO, they had to have key bases and a key naval base in Syria. And the Syrian civil war was going on then. Assad was being brutal. The guerrilla forces were being brutal. But Russia moved in 20,000 troops to support Assad to stay in power. And Assad, in exchange, turned over the port at Tartus to become a naval base. Later, I'll show you the military significance in detail. But from that base, Russia could project its military power all the way through the Mediterranean to Italy, where our major base trying to dominate the Mediterranean existed. This was control over that central region. That's what this battle was about. When Hillary said, we'll have a no-fly zone over Syria, Russia can't have a base with a no-fly zone. She was declaring war on Putin. Putin then decided, well, I'm going to try to help Trump get elected. And he started speaking out against Clinton and the Democrats. And this is what gave fuel to the fire to the Russian dossier that led to the allegations that Trump was a Russian agent. This, no, it's what Putin wanted because he didn't want opposition in Syria. He thought he could probably manipulate Trump. He found out different. Okay, continuing. When Trump seized control of the situation and informed Putin his countermeasures, Putin backed off. No war with Ukraine. The TARDIS base remained until recently, so Russia still had a deterrent in the Mediterranean region. Turkey was wishy-washy with Russia, and Turkey is a key element, as we'll discuss later, between Russia and the Middle East. Today, Turkey is no friend to Russia. And like I said, we'll develop that later. Okay, now the fact that Trump stopped this whole process, stopped the escalation of conflict, infuriated the powers that be. They didn't try to impeach him once, they went after him twice, and then they had the Russian hoax. I want to know when people are going to go to prison for the Russian dossier that it's been exposed as fraudulent beyond any doubt with congressional testimony. James Comer, we're waiting. We want perp walks because Trump was masterful in stopping it. And he and General Flynn got labeled as being traitors for their good efforts. Okay, now we're going to shift gears and go back to the article. That was my commentary for today. I wrote 10 years ago, former U.S. Treasury Secretary Paul Craig Roberts warned about a black swan event in Russia. Cutting off energy supplies to European nations is a prelude to war. This is going to factor heavily into something I'm going to show you later in this presentation. Russia could hold Europe and NATO hostage. It didn't work as well as what Putin had hoped because the European leadership and the EU could give a crap about their people. They could care less. But it did slow Putin down that Trump got involved in this. Okay, let's look at what the deal is here. Okay, the world took a big step towards the next world war. Britain only has energy storage buffer at that time estimated to be 16 days of energy. What lies beyond the 16 days under the present set of circumstances was devastation for their economy and their people welfare. People would have frozen to death. The coming Britain reduction in energy usage will be imposed through rationing and denial of service to non-essential entities and service. Fortunately, didn't get to that as I was predicting because Putin will back off. In contrast, Germany had at that time 77 days of energy reserves. France had 88 days. Okay. And they had not enough to get through. Now, Putin is in the catbird seat. Poised to take Ukraine, a little afraid of Trump. He's stronger than he thought, but he could still hold Europe hostage. And this is where Trump got masterful. He just said, okay, well, we're going to kill your trade in this area and that area, and you're going to back off and continue to sell natural gas at a reasonable price. Trump saved Europe in his first administration. Hey. This was how close we came to war. In 2014, Russian Pravda printed that Putin announced his warlike intentions that he was going to severely scale down nuclear security cooperation with the U.S. Do you remember the SALT agreements? For those of you old enough to remember, and basically, we'll destroy 10 nuclear missiles if you destroy 10 nuclear missiles. It wasn't a fair exchange because Carter was involved and he was a weak sister. But nonetheless, there was nuclear reduction on both sides, more on ours than theirs. Okay, now you're looking at a map. And this is going to bring us to the conclusion of part one. This is Trump's masterclass in diplomacy. People were saying, why the hell does Trump have to go to Saudi Arabia and Qatar and do all that? It was nonsense. We got bigger problems. Trump, stay home, do your job. This is what we heard from the left and the mainstream media. Well, do you see that little red line right there? It's coming out of Qatar. You see that? Okay. What this is right here, this is how Trump can control Europe. This is how he can avoid World War III. This is how he can also neuter the Russian economy when it comes to energy exports. Off the coast of Qatar is by far and away the world's biggest natural gas supply. Now, they've known this for a while, but it would be stupid to have built a pipeline because at that time, Turkey was not on board totally with NATO, the US, and Europe. Okay. Syria, strong ally of Russia. Iraq was too unstable to put a pipeline through. So this natural gas just sat there. Trump goes to Saudi Arabia, one of the countries the pipeline would pass through, and said, we're going to make a military deal. We're going to make you our military ally, and here's how we're going to build up your military. And they go, this is awesome. And we're also going to do energy deals with you too. Trump, master dealer. Saudi Arabia on board, checkmate to Iran. You got another military enemy in the region. Now, look at the pipeline. It goes through Syria. It goes through Turkey. Every one of these countries gets a middleman markup, but they understand they've got to keep it reasonable to make the price of natural gas less, significantly less than what the Russians were doing pre-Ukraine war. Trump is cutting the legs out of post-war Russia natural gas exports. He's showing Putin, I'm serious. This war is going to stop. And this was Trump's response to Putin's wish you, yeah, we'll do a deal. No, we won't do a deal. We'll do a deal. We won't do a deal. This was his response. He said, okay. He said, I'm going to hit you where it hurts. These aren't even sanctions. But you got a big problem now because post-war, where are you going to send this gas? Now, Russia has two customers today for their energy. They're counting on more post-war. Their customers are India and China. But because they're the only two customers, India and China now can dictate terms to Russia, limit their profits while they get great energy deals. And that's exactly what's happening. Putin's energy sector is being greatly impacted, and there's no end in sight to the limitation of this effect. This was master stuff right here. This was incredible. Meanwhile, Iran is isolated. We're going to talk about that in a later broadcast, but just the emergence of Saudi Arabia as an ally of the United States, supplied with U.S. military weaponry, is a great counter to Iran. They are pooping in their proverbial pants, and I've already covered this. And thank you to Hashim Gobadi, who came on my show last week, and he talked about how the people in Iran were going to take to the streets and try to get the mullahs out of power, negate the Iranian threat to world peace. It's happening. It's already happening. Masterclass in diplomacy by Donald Trump. And it's amazing to me, too. Because I want to say this now to the Democrats that hate Trump, the people with Trump derangement syndrome. You people, if this would have blown up into World War, you people would have been sending your kids off to die. Now, I'm not saying we're out of danger because we face Iranian terror cells in this country. We know they exist. We also face their allies in this country, Hamas, Iran created. We also know Yemen can restart going after shipping. There's challenges ahead, that Trump has cut the legs out of the Russia-Iran connection. And we're going to cover that next. Iran is isolated. The Russian economy is on the verge of being devastated. And someone wrote to me on the comment section. I'm going to correct this right here and now. The Russians claim inflation's 10%. That's catastrophic because in 5 years, you've lost half your buying power. This keeps people from doing long-term investments in banking accounts, like your typical Russian version of an IRA or a 401k. This is devastating the Russian economy, but it ain't even 10%. And someone was saying how great the Russian economy is. Yet you want to believe Pravda and their propaganda? Believe it. They're admitting to 10% inflation. In certain areas with certain foods, it's 30%. And Russia also has a huge manpower shortage because they've lost 1 million men in the war and they're trying to transfer people from agricultural production to military production. And so now they're going to have a food shortage. This is Trump's squeeze, and Russia is reeling right now. Now, the danger is that Russia and Iran that's backed into a corner. Well, when you back a wounded animal into a corner, they're going to fight like hell to the death. The mullahs have no capability or desire to negotiate with anybody. Putin, if he backs down on the war, I believe the oligarchs will take him out. He's between a rock and a hard place. He's desperate. So that's the state of where things are at. Backing away, my takeaway from everything I've presented here, this war has been in the works for 11 or 12 years. And it was designed to expand to a world war. Who would do such a thing? Okay, all I gotta say is go read a history book that analyzes the economics of World War I and World War II, and you'll answer your question. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll be back with more on this conflict. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you and to share the world with you on this day the Lord hath made. Happy, happy, happy to everybody. Hey, we have something here, a story that on the surface appears to be good news. And I don't think President Trump, and in this case, I can't believe I'm going to make a mistake for European leaders because I don't like them, but I don't think European leaders or President Trump have a choice in this matter. And we're going to talk about Russia, and Russia is a wounded, cornered animal. On one hand, the news is really good. On the other hand, the news could be potentially very dangerous. And we're going to break it down for you right here on the Common Sense Show. Hey, before we go to the story, a couple of things. People love our newsletter. Over 50,000 people subscribe. And the reason they do is because it's one-stop shopping. We might do something on health and wellness. We might look at the latest investigation in Congress on what they're calling UAPs, the old term UFOs, and to see if we can make any sense out of what they're doing there. I mean, we cover a whole gamut of things with the geopolitical, the politics, the economics, and we'll make several publications during the day. And people say, Dave, it's keep coming back here. You're doing so much. I know. If you sign up for the newsletter, you'd get one-stop shopping with one email that would come to your email box once a day, late afternoon, early evening, depending on your time zone. And you only got to see that. You go, oh, that's convenient. That's what over 50,000 people think. And best of all, it's free. All you got to do is go to thecommonsenseshow.com, sign up for the newsletter just by clicking the newsletter link, putting in your email address, and no, we do not sell data, I promise. And we'll send that out to you every day from here on out. It's a great deal. Hey, we're brought to you by Noble Gold, and we are living in an age of extreme insecurity. Extreme. And I've talked to you a lot about the fact that Noble Gold can save your earnings in your bank. The Dodd-Frank law 2010 says the banks can keep what you put in there, and that includes your retirement. Now, they haven't done it to date, but let's remember 1929, and the economy is improving on every front, and I'm optimistic under President Trump that's going to continue. But what if it doesn't? What if unexpected things happen that are out of his control or anyone else's control? Yeah, the banks will keep what you put in. Also, too, inflation has destroyed you. Just look what I put up here. Every 6 years, your $50,000 savings or your $100,000 savings, okay, for today, would go to $50,000 because of inflation. That's unacceptable. You're working for whom? For the people that make money off inflation. That starts with the Federal Reserve. Now, there's a way to preserve your money. Noble Gold makes it easy to own gold and silver. Gold is exploding. Goldman Sachs said that gold's going to reach $4,500 this fall, this winter. That's incredible. What is it, $3,300 right now? Whoever thought you'd see $3,300? I remember when it hit $800, people go, wow, this is incredible. Well, $3,300, we're four times that now. So this is a great way to make money. And some people have told me, Dave, it's worth it right now to get a second job so I can buy as much gold and silver as I can get, because silver is right on the heels of gold. It's being artificially repressed because the banks and other entities are hoarding it, because silver is the darling mineral for climate change technology, AI technology, and it's going to explode because there's a shortage. You say, well, Noble Gold can help you navigate all this. Now, here's a great deal with Noble Gold. No pressure. No call centers. Okay, just honest one-on-one support. I've had the same person I've worked with now for going on 8 years. I've been advertising for 9. They're the best people to deal with. And I'm telling you what, I'm sitting in a nice place because I was smart enough to get involved with them. They can do the same thing for you. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com and I'll send you out a free information packet. Just put your email in, DaveHodgesGold.com, or you can simply call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And I really spend time on this ad because I want you, most of us are like-minded. We respect the Constitution. We respect everyone's civil liberties. We want a strong America economically for our kids to grow up in. We want lots of opportunity, and that means equality at the starting line. And I need you all to be intact financially. And I mean that sincerely. All right, let's talk about Russia. And I was going to bog this down with maps and geopolitical explanations, but because I'm going to hit so many points, and because you'll have access to the recording and just play this back, Russia is finito. They can't supply Iran with very much help, unless they just directly send them nuclear weapons. But we have the sniffers in the air, and I doubt that we would let those through. That's why we're in the Red Sea, people. And Russia would need the base at Tartus in Syria to refuel, to resupply Iran and support them like they did Assad in 2014. That ain't going to happen because Tartus is gone. Also, in a world war situation, we control the Mediterranean now totally without opposition. Our base at Naples dominates the Mediterranean because the base that was at Tartus is gone. And if you're wondering why President Trump supported basically a thug, a terrorist, to overthrow Assad, because Trump has made deals with him financially, politically, militarily. Stop being a thug. He's talking like a statesman. He likes money. He likes opportunity. He likes power. And he now has the backing of the United States government. And he took out the Russian bases. And if Israel felt the need to attack Iran because their Iron Dome isn't holding up to attack from Iran, they could fly undetected at low altitudes across Syria. And there's no Russian detection. Not like there used to be. There's no Russian surface-to-air missiles like there used to be. Iran is defenseless. Now, they can bring hurt down on the United States. They claim to have Iranian terror cells in this country, and with the mass amounts of immigration that we've had that was unchecked at the border, is it possible? I think it's probably likely. Although I don't know that we have any specific information, but I want to just say one thing about the immigration thing. Trump is not going after people who have come here under the false promises of the Biden administration. It was completely legal, and everyone here wanted you here. And this is what these people were told. Most of them, the good people that are here that just want to make a living, they were duped. They were duped, and I think we need to keep that in mind. Trump isn't going after those people. Trump's going after people who are members of transnational gangs who are tied to terrorists, many of them trained with terrorists at base camps in Central America. We've covered that in the past. And they are a clear and present danger to everyone in this country with public and mass acts of terrorism as a potential. And he's going after the TDA, MS-13, and so forth. And these people who have criminal convictions for murder, rape, manslaughter, that kind of thing. Do you really want people in the country like that? Of course not. Of course not. In fact, people who aren't here, and they're undocumented, they don't want people like that here. And unfortunately, too many of them were victims of these groups trying to cross the border and what they had to do to get across the border. And I'll spare you the horrible details, but they're out there. That's who Trump is after. And he anticipates groups like Iran as they fall, and they're not going to be able to get a nuclear weapon, and their economy is being strangled because they're so bad. And we're fueling resistance efforts inside of Iran that are being successful. They could retaliate. And this is what Trump, I believe, is trying to prevent with who he's deporting. Now, are they making mistakes? Yeah, I will tell you this. If you're here and you came as an asylum seeker and you show up for your court date, you should not be arrested and deported. They're complying with the law. And there are instances of that happening now, and I think that we need to take a long look at that. But that's another topic for another time. Remember, we want to be a nation of laws and fairness and justice. Now, let's go back to Russia. Russia can't carry on in a global war effort now. They've been worn down. And they have a dual-layered problem. They needed Aleppo for trade in Syria as well, to access Mediterranean ports and Mediterranean countries. Their economy is taking a hit. One of the ways that Russia was getting around the sanctions that came on them was they were sending the Wagner Group into Central Africa to mine minerals, and they were helping, shall we say, revolutionary forces to overthrow legitimate governments. Well, you may have heard that Trump was backing what was considered to be a fairly brutal dictator in the Congo. Reason being, we're taking a cut of their minerals to keep that guy in power, and we've made it clear to him your genocide has to stop. You can oppose the rebels, but you cannot do what you were doing with your citizens. And that has stopped. Really quiet diplomacy, but effective. Saving lives, becoming an ally, and strangling Russia's ability to get the minerals. But even if Russia could get the minerals, they needed the port at Tarsus for refuel, resupply, going both ways with the Wagner Group. They don't have that any longer. Trump is supporting national governments in Africa with huge mineral deposits that the Russians have been taking advantage of. So Russia's getting squeezed on that end. They're losing the ability to fight against the sanctions. Now, sanctions usually don't work. This time, though, with 16,000 sanctions, it's a problem for Russia if they don't have the resupply of these minerals that they can take in. Now, you're saying, well, Dave, they produce lots of oil and they sell it. Yes. And no one's buying it but India and China. When you only have two customers, you get to set the price if you're China and India. Russia's profit margin with their oil is down tremendously. It's a one-sided relationship to a large extent with India and China. And Trump hasn't put pressure on India to stop trading with Russia with oil for this reason. It's bleeding the Russian economy. Trump's had it with Putin. Now, let me back up and say this. Putin hates the globalists. He hates them. Trump hates the globalists. For a long time, I said a Russian-American military alliance with a country that was acting responsibly, Russia, would be a good thing for the world because it would negate China and the attempt for some of them to make them the world policeman. And it would negate other factors that are trying to take away national sovereignty on this planet. Well, I think Trump has had a change of heart. He's lost patience with Putin. We'll get to Putin in a second because he doesn't have a lot of choice. And Trump is basically washing his hands of Putin. Last week, he said, I'm giving you 2 weeks to stop the war in Ukraine. All right, now let's go to that war in Ukraine. So China's is out of the picture right now. They got their hands full in the Pacific, and their leader is in trouble, and Putin is in trouble. China's a separate broadcast, but I'm telling you, they're going down the same path where they say dictators eventually get their comeuppance. Well, that's what's happening. Putin is not winning the war in Russia. I mentioned to you last week, he has a deficit of about 700 tanks lost to what they can produce every month. 50,000 short-range missiles. Yeah. Drones, at the rate that they're lost, are not being replaced. Russia's military capability, and I said this last week, I said a lot of people I talk to, ex-military, high-ranking, believe Russia has a maximum of about 90 days as a military power, conventionally. Now that gets scary. Well, let's deal with the pragmatic part. Russia has a huge manpower shortage. This is where they have a dual layer of deficit. Russia doesn't have a lot of ports from which they can trade. Now they don't have a lot of people they can trade with. And what they were getting out of Africa, they're losing. And now they have a manpower shortage. And this is really critical. It's very similar to what we're going to talk about with China. They're going through the same thing. Russia's had 1.5 million men leave the country between the ages of 20 and 35. They've had 1 million casualties in the Ukraine war. There's a manpower shortage agriculturally. There's a manpower shortage in military manufacturing. There's a manpower shortage in infrastructure maintenance. I could continue to go on. There's actually a couple, and I just this occurred to me. I wish I had the link I could put in, but I saw a couple of their YouTube videos, and I'm surprised Russia let them put it out. Two Russians that speak pretty good English that have traveled around the country, and they've shown some of the deficits caused by the war economically. There's a real strain on the Russian people. And now to add to that, drones have been striking at Moscow. And now Germany is giving the kind of missiles that Zelensky has been begging for to bomb Moscow and St. Petersburg. This is where we're playing with fire. As a senior member of NATO, we are NATO. If we said we're going to cut you off, we're out of NATO. If you do this, I believe it would be stopped. Trump, I believe, is using this as leverage. And this is a high-stakes poker game right now. Putin, you're going to have Red Square bombed. Right now, they bombed an area with the drones next to Red Square, where they train Russian Academy for officers. I mean, this was huge. You're not seeing it here in our mainstream media. I had to go into Europe to find this. This is real. Putin is in a lot of trouble. He's got the manpower shortage. Now, he's taking, what did he take last week? 2.3 acres of land. That's what his offense has given him. His offense is ground to a halt. The Russians have lost 10,700 tanks, a lot of them to advanced drone strikes. It reminds me of Nazi Germany invading Russia in World War II. You get to the gates of Stalingrad and you don't have the resupply for a lot of reasons, and your advance stalls. This is where Russia's at, and this is where I came up with this 90-day figure, because Germany is getting hyper-aggressive. They've built themselves into the strongest military in Europe, and they're continuing to build. And they are participating with Poland with the manufacturing of long-range missiles in Ukraine. How long will it be till there's boots on the ground? And the argument's been set. The minute that Russia let North Korea come in and fight on their side, it gave license to NATO to support Zelensky. Now, let me say this. I am no fan of Zelensky. And I hope the Ukrainian people, if he prevails in this war, I hope he will be removed. He is corrupt, as corrupt as long, but he's necessary right now to stop Russia. This war has turned Russia into a conventional second-rate power. I don't think they could fight their way out of a wet paper bag now. They're so depleted. Manpower shortages, mineral shortages, lack of customers to trade with, lack of mineral resource. Yeah, what do they have left? About 1,600 nuclear weapons and their submarines. And I have to tell you, there is no great answer for defending against a nuclear submarine. You're going to take hits. Will he become so desperate that he does that? Well, here's the question. This brings it right into focus. You stay in power in Russia as long as you make the oligarchs happy. Do you understand what I'm saying? You stay in power as long as you make the oligarchs happy. Do the oligarchs, natural gas, oil, minerals, they're getting squeezed. Would they do better if they deposed Putin, put a new leader in, and sued for peace, and did not get the territorial gains they wanted, and maybe even give up Crimea? That's a huge question. If I were an oligarch, I don't have money resources if I'm the victim of a retaliatory nuclear strike that my leader started because he was desperate. Putin's between the proverbial rock and a hard place. He's unpopular with his people, and they're reaching a 1968 point of unhappiness with the public. And I say 1968, that's when public opinion in America turned against the Vietnam War after the Tet Offensive. They're approaching the same thing. If they can't get Donbass, Russian-speaking area in Ukraine, if they can't secure that, you're going to see huge outcries for Putin's removal. And Putin is part of the old Soviet intelligence group farther down the line, but he comes out of the line of Gorbachev and that whole group. So even though the Soviet Union collapsed, the Soviet Union leaders were still controlling the show. And Putin is the remnant of that group. I think there's going to be a turning of the worm. And I will tell you this, if Trump decides he wants Putin gone, it's a simple deal to make with the oligarchs. If you get rid of Putin and you stop the war and you negotiate a fair peace, we can set up avenues of trade for you all around the world. The sanctions will be gone. And I guarantee you, this is in place right now. This is what I believe Trump is talking about with your 2-week warning window. So Russia is on the verge of collapse, as is their military, as is their infrastructure. What do you think? Trump tried. He tried. He came into office wanting to end the war and do deals with Russia and Ukraine that were mutually beneficial. But the oligarchs wouldn't have liked the deal that came out. So Putin couldn't do it. So he put everything into the war, and now it happened. Will he use tactical nukes before it's over? If he does, there'll be a third world war. If the oligarchs say, no, we're not going down that road, and they remove him, then the world has a chance to avoid the third world war. And then there'll be a regime change in Iran, too. I promise you, the mullahs will be gone. The Iranian resistance group, One of the leaders we interviewed on the show last week, Mr. Gavadi, they will take over Iran. They're close now. The mullahs are in seclusion and they're strongly protected by their own personal bodyguards. And there's two armies in Iran. It's their regular army, which is 90% conscripts, and they do not like the government. And then there's their own personal bodyguard, which is fiercely loyal and will fight to the death. The mullahs are in self-protective mode right now. And if Russia falls, then they have no chance of support. And Saudi Arabia has been turned to America. Qatar has been turned to America. Jordan already has been. Iraq will be no factor. Okay. Iran's lost its allies. So if Russia goes, Iran goes. Trump has done a masterclass on diplomacy. Let's just hope he can walk this tightrope to avoid World War III. And then we have to deal with the domestic terrorism. Because I guarantee you, Iran will not go down without a doomsday fight. It's a darn good thing they don't have a nuclear weapon. Tell me what you think. Where do you think this is going to go? Does Putin survive? Looking forward to your comments. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We will see you back here again next time.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Hey, I just did an interview with Jeff Kerr, and I got to tell you, what a fantastic journalist he is. And we talked about Epstein, but more importantly, we talked about Bongino, Patel. What the hell are they afraid of? Look at their body language in an interview they did on Fox News with Marie Bartiromo. You look at that and you say, these aren't their words. Something is being hidden. We're not being told the truth. What it is, I mean, we can speculate all day long, but I wanted to play this interview because number one, we put some great content up on our TV show. So I'm going to play about 10 minutes for you and let you see what kind of stuff we put up there in terms of geopolitics. We do other stuff too, and I've talked to you about that. But before we go there, I just wanted to let you know that we're just going to let this play through to about the 10-minute mark, and then you can go see the rest of it over at thecommonsenseshow.tv. And we're going to do a whole lot more investigative journalism like this. All right, here we go. Okay, there's my guest, Jeff, and I'm just going to play this through the first 10, and I'm telling you, your eyes are going to pop out of your head on some of this stuff. And the best is over on the TV show. Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And hey, let Noble Gold protect you from what the banks can do to you under Dodd-Frank. Let Noble Gold help you invest wisely. And they're the best people I've ever dealt with. No call centers, no pressure. You close your own deal. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a free information packet. Our guest in this segment is Jeff Greer, and he is the president and managing partner for WGSO Radio in New Orleans. And he's been doing this stuff since 1999, got a good history. He's interviewed presidents and speakers of the House, and the background he possesses is phenomenal. He seems to be everywhere all at once. He's got his own dish network. It's incredible. I just, like I said, but I don't want to waste a lot of time because our time is short going through the extensive resume because that could take up the whole show. But what we're going to talk about here is something that I'm impatient about, and I have raised this issue myself to some degree because it reminds me of Ken Lay of, well, you know that story with Ken Lay, right? Okay, I don't want to go into that here, but I'm not trusting what we've been told about Epstein, and neither is our guest. And so I want to welcome you to the show, first time appearance on the Common Sense Show. And I got to tell you, you've been saying what I think a lot of people are thinking with regard to the Epstein situation. And so let's just jump right into that. What are your concerns and what have you found?
Well, Dave, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being on your program. So, yeah, as you've outlined, I've been doing this a long time, been observing, commenting on politics for decades. And it just doesn't smell right to me, the whole Epstein so-called suicide. You look at the particular prison he was in, we have to believe that His cellmate was moved out the day before, that the cameras weren't working, that the guards fell asleep. We have to believe that the injuries that were sustained to his neck were highly unusual for a suicide, according to renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Bodden. And we have to trust the word of our government officials who tell us, oh, they looked into it. It was a suicide. Some people that knew him well, his brother says it was not a suicide. His lawyers say it was not a suicide. So I have always questioned it ever since August of 2019, when we were told that this happened. And I was hoping under the Trump administration, we would get disclosure, we would get truth. And I think they've made progress on some issues, definitely. And I think overall, he's doing a very good job. Mm-hmm. But on this issue, I have to say I'm very disappointed, Dave.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are really impatient. I see a lot of chatter on X about show us the list. And if you were to speculate, is it because who might be on the list is the reason we're not getting the truth?
Definitely. 100%. I mean, let's just look at it. We were told we would get the list. We were told the files were on her desk. The Attorney General, Pam Bondi. Then when they released a folder with recycled information, she said, oh, well, they didn't give her all the information. And then supposedly a truckload of information was delivered to her office the next morning. And then 1,000 agents were working 24/7 on this, trying to get to all the information so it could be released to the public. Well, we're 2.5 months later, 3 months later. And Dave, we've gotten no additional information. Kash Patel, when John Kennedy, our senator, questioned him, said they're working on it. Said they're working on it. So what takes this long, Dave? I don't know. If you've got 1,000 people working on this into the wee hours of the night, what is the deal here? People aren't looking for videos to be released. We don't want any of that pornographic material release. We want the files, the names, the people that were involved in this. That's what the American people are looking for.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for too. And quite frankly, I'm less concerned about who's on the list that full disclosure and justice gets done, because that's what we were promised in the campaign. And now we have a glaring exception to that. You know, I'm going to speculate here, and listen, I have no proof, but you know that, Jeffrey Epstein had to have a lot of dead man switches around the planet, that his death would trigger any number of things to be disclosed. And that was the protection he'd have against assassination. And I went through this with Ken Lay and Enron, and I won't go into the detail, but we never believe Ken Lay committed suicide for the same kind of reasons. And in fact, Ken Lay even joked with us on a conference call, we all better have our dead man switches in play, because we were violating the government's Invention Act of 1951, coming out with some new technology, and they didn't want that. And that they took him down, and they invented all those charges. And I've seen this game played before.
I just wonder too, is Epstein even dead?
There you get a deal. Hey, we go into all different aspects of considering this, but that's a good program we have over in the TV show. I'd encourage you to go join it. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. And I'll tell you, it's eye-opening. And this man's a great journalist. Great journalist. He's worthy of you following him as well. Hey, thanks for joining us here. We're coming back. There's some stuff you need to know about Russia. They're in trouble, big trouble. And it's not just the war in Ukraine. And Iran, well, are we looking at a regime change that's underway? Very possibly.